Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we're going to have the second lesson in studying about a centurion of great faith, a centurion that Jesus favored on one occasion. I want to begin my lesson, however, by apologizing for a mistake that I certainly made in the last lesson. I referred to the centurion as a Samaritan. He was not a Samaritan. He was a Roman. He was a Roman soldier. Now, I knew he was not a Jew, and I knew a Samaritan was not a Jew, but I mistakenly referred to him as a Samaritan, so I want to make that correction. Of course, the Bible student will know that sometimes you can get your tongue all tangled up and you don't say exactly what you intend to say. But now we're studying about this centurion, and we're seeing certain characteristics about him that I suggest to us that we need to develop in our own lives. It will make us more Christ-like. These are traits of character that the Lord approves. I think we could even make it stronger than that, that the Lord expects of us. Don't you think he expects us to be Christ-like? Now we see that this centurion, he had a servant who was sick, and he was nigh unto death. And he had obviously heard about Jesus and his power to heal, and he sought benefit for his servant. We see in this man then he had a gentle and sympathetic heart. He was a man of kindness. He was willing to be of help to those who were less fortunate than he was. Things might have been well with him, but nonetheless he knew that his servant needed assistance. And so he reaches out, seeking Jesus' help for this servant. We see another thing about this centurion thus far, that he was a genuinely humble man. Now, when Jesus said that he would come and heal, this man said he wasn't worthy for Jesus to even come under his roof. Now, he wanted Jesus' help, to be sure, but he recognized the power of Jesus. If Jesus just spoke, the servant healed, that he would be healed. But he didn't consider himself worthy for Christ to go that much out of his way to be of assistance to anybody, certainly not to come to his house. His humility was characteristic of Christ. You know, one of the problems of mankind is, and the Apostle Paul addressed this in the book of Romans, too many of us think too highly of ourselves. Now, certainly we should have a certain degree of self-esteem and self-respect, but too many times we're so proud, we think ourselves so superior above others, and we lose that trait and quality of humility that we ought to have. But now, as we proceed further, let's look at some other things about this centurion. This was a reverent man. Reverence for that which he considered high and holy. He showed a genuine respect and consideration of Jesus and for the authority of Jesus. He didn't ask Jesus to come to his house. He said, "Trouble not thyself." Now, he was aware, of course, having been a leader among the Jewish people for some time, one that controlled the Jewish people, that a Jew would be considered ceremonially unclean. He would be considered defiled to come into the house of a Gentile. And he sought no embarrassment for Jesus to come into his house, and so he didn't ask Jesus to come to his house. He respected the dignity of Christ, and he respected the power of Christ. He did not even consider it necessary for Jesus to personally come in order to accomplish the healing that he desired. His attitude was that all that Jesus had to do, he had such power, was simply speak the word. The distance, it didn't make any difference about the distance. The power of Christ would surpass the difference, the distance. And so the centurion recognized and respected the power of Christ. And notice how he was considerate and respectful of the authority which he obviously attributed to Jesus Christ. Now, he was a man who knew what authority was. He exercised authority himself. He was a man that, being a centurion, he was an officer, and he was also under the authority of others. You know, at the root of so much trouble that we see sometimes in the home and in the church and in society generally, certainly seen in the schools and on the streets, is the failure to recognize and respect duly ordained authority. There is an element of people in our society that has nothing but reproach for those who are commissioned to enforce the laws of our land. Those who are the policemen, they have authority. They have duly ordained authority. And I'm not suggesting that every policeman is everything that ought to be. And certainly every citizen is not everything they ought to be either. But the disdain of the authority of those who are to enforce the law is a sorry characteristic of our society, and those that would promote that idea, they have a much for which to give an account when they stand before God. There's a lack of authority in the schools. There's a lack of authority sometimes even in the church. A lack of appreciation for authority in the home. And that's where authority needs to be learned. We need to have respect for authority, dear people. And the Lord has authority. And this centurion recognized that authority. Disrespect for authority finds its root beginning in the home, usually, because father and mother do not let child recognize they are the parents and they are the ones in control of that home, not the children. And friend, no nation can rise above its spring, and the home is the spring of national life. The level of society is set by the home. The Lord knew that the home was where respect for authority begins. And God gave the Jews the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, to honor thy father and thy mother. To Christian people, the Apostle Paul wrote, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6 and verse 24. The home that fails to provide training that calls for respect of authority plows the ground and sows the seed and reaps the crop of disrespect for authority and all of the inescapable problems and heartaches that that brings. People do not come into this world evil. They don't come into this world rebellious. They learn to be that way, and usually they learn that first of all in the home. They either at home or in the military or from Jewish law or from some other source, this centurion had learned to respect authority, and he respected the authority of Christ. But one of the more glorious characteristics of this man, he was a man of great faith, and even Jesus recognized this. That for which this centurion is really best known is his faith. In this he excelled. Now the Bible says Jesus marveled at his faith. You know, there are only two times in Scripture that tell us that Jesus marveled. And one of them was here. The other was when Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the people of Nazareth. And we read about that in Mark chapter 6, that in spite of all of the evidences that he was the Son of God, how they still turned their back upon him and did not believe. Jesus marveled at that, but he marveled at this man's faith. Now, you know, this man's faith would have been impressive even if he had been a Jew, because the Jews were expected to believe. Certainly they would be more readily to believe because they had a greater opportunity for the evidence. They enjoyed a long heritage of contact with God. They were taught the things concerning God. They had the prophecies about the coming Messiah. They could see that Jesus was fulfilling those prophecies. And Jesus was a Jew. But this man was a Gentile. But this man's faith, Jesus said, was greater than that which he found in all of Israel. And Jesus took advantage of the occasion to teach another lesson. Many from every direction would come to the Lord, not just those from among the Jews, God's chosen race of people for many centuries. Of course, they were chosen because through then the Messiah was to come. But the time had come when ancestry would no longer determine who was a child of God. John the Baptist had preached this. Peter had learned of a truth. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Yes, the gospel is for all because all need the gospel. The Jews who would reject Jesus would not be counted among the children of the kingdom, but would be cast out into outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's the description of torment of the unprofitable and disapproved servants of Matthew chapter 25. But we must also see the folly of Jewish people to try to serve God on the basis of who were their ancestors. And sometimes people act this way today. Oh, my mother was a good Christian, my father was a good man, and they act like that's going to be to their benefit in the judgment, whether they obey the Lord or not. Now, to be sure, we don't want to have a borrowed faith. Each one must come to a knowledge of the truth himself. He must have love for himself. He must have conviction toward Christ for himself. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're different from what our foreparents believed. If they believe the truth and we believe the truth, of course, we believe the same thing. What I'm trying to say is each one must have his own heart of the faith of Christ. Serving God is an individual matter. We cannot serve him by proxy. And there is no one that can stand in for us, dear friend, in the matters of religion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 makes it plain, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're not going to stand before God as a church. We're not going to stand before God as a community. We're not going to stand before God as a family. We'll stand before God in judgment as an individual. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged as an individual. Jesus healed this centurion's servant, just as the centurion desired. But cannot we see the greatness of Christ in this deed? And cannot we see the noble qualities of this centurion that we would be well to develop and to imitate? Cannot we see his love, his compassion, his concern for his fellow man, his kindness, his humility toward others, his respect for which was divine and sacred? Cannot we see his glorious faith so much as to cause our Lord even to marvel? Yes, we appreciate the record about the centurion of great faith because it points us in the right direction. We appreciate you listening to our program. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.